Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday Chatter.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
on Blog Talk Radio, and you have found a little subset of the largest poetry group on the planet, that is allpoetry.com, and you have found a group of people who are from around the world called A Team of Voices, and you can come and join us if you wish by knocking on the door, getting yourself a free account, coming and saying hello. And if you do say hello, you will say hello to the head honcho, which is Deb. Hello, Deb. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you. And if you were listening very carefully to that introduction song by the lovely Shout Even Shy, you will know that Shout did the chords and did the music and played all of the stuff, but what she was actually singing were the words of Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter. How are you?
I'm muted. I'm fine.
There you go. EPE's with us. Yeah, there was some doubt there for a little bit as I was sitting here looking at the empty studio and thinking, well, this is going to be a quick show. I'll just sort of get on and say a few bits and get off again. But there you go. Everybody showed up in time as they always do. So there you go. Here we are. And we've got a number of things on tonight, Hatter. We should have Stephen joining us shortly, and we of course have Gonzo and his incredible collaboration with his team of merry folk.
We have our collab that we haven't done in weeks.
We did one last week, Hatter, but obviously we are now back in form.
But that one was written. We had written those lines week before when it was first postponed.
Well, that is true.
So it wasn't like it.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, but
so,
they were postponed for a wonderful reason: the birthday celebration.
Sure.
Well,
that's
exactly. However, it's good to see that we are collectively back on form with our collaboration. Hitting the high marks yet again.
What did you think? What did you think of the picture? Easy to write?
Yeah, well, sort of a... Hatter, I went to the moon, you see, and I just looked at everything in the moon, and I just wrote about the moon.
Yeah.
It was as simple as
that.
Yeah.
I could totally see that. I went around the board. You'll see.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. And you had some fine lines too. I think you probably steal the fine lines.
Oh, you read it?
Well, Kate made a comment, and so she actually commented actually on a few lines, and I thought, ooh, they're Hatter's, they're not mine. So I only saw Kate's comment, so I didn't see the line. But she explicitly talked about some lines. There you go. So you're in highlight, Hatter. You're in highlight. We haven't even got there yet, and you're in highlight. So which is pretty
impressive. Take a look.
So we will take a look shortly. And this week it was my topic, which is why I'm introducing everything. And the topic this week is gold.
Gold.
And so I thought, what a decent sort of topic that. Because if there's one thing that my friend Jay Hatter talks about, probably more than anything else, it is gold. How to find gold. Where to go and find gold. Hatter knows more, I think, knows more about where to find gold and how to find gold in Australia than I do by about 200 times.
I think I might. I've been studying up on it.
In my entire life,
I wanted to make it to the gold fields in Australia, and I get a chance.
Wow.
This is a big
We are going to the gold
deal.
Fields, Hatter. They are not that far away. I'm here to tell you. They're only... you can find some gold around Melbourne, but it's pretty pitiful. You really have to go up, Ballarat and Bendigo way, and you really have to go up there because that's where the decent gold was found, So
hey, I'm watching 2 hours of Aussie Gold, the show they play here. It's called Aussie Gold.
Well, there you go.
2 hours of it a day.
Well, you've watched in a day more than I've watched ever. So, I'm a study of the books and the internet and all that stuff. So I can tell you that the biggest gold nugget ever found in the world was found up between Ballarat and Bendigo. And they didn't have these were in the days before they had any sort of sophisticated equipment. They just had a great big pick and they were digging and the pick sort of bounced off this thing. And there it was, just below the surface, the Welcome Stranger Nugget, Hatter. 74 kilograms of gold in the one piece.
Yeah, wow.
Just sitting below the surface. So you can be lucky. I just had a pick mark on it because the guy just sort of tried to back his way through it. But anyway, apart from that, perfectly good gold nugget. And the of course, has the record for the... the biggest nugget.
Which one is it?
Yeah.
They named the Hand of God or something. The Hand of God. The guy had just had lost his job, lost his house. He was living in a trailer with his family, and he goes out with a detective and finds $1.2 million, something like that.
Yeah, I think it was the Hand of Faith nugget from memory. It was the Hand of Faith. And I think, again, that was up Kingaur, the Hand of Faith, Kingaur. And Kingaur is between Bendigo and Ballarat. There you go. Very, very small town, not a lot in Kingaroo, but they did find a hand-to-face gold nugget in 1980, and it was only a tiny one, Hatter. It was only 27 kilos.
Just only. Yeah.
Mm.
Sorry, I just want a potato.
Yeah.
I'll take a potato. Just a potato softball.
Yeah.
Baseball, handball size.
27. So there you go. And the Golden Nugget Casino actually bought it, Hatter.
Say that again.
The Golden Nugget Casino in Las Vegas bought it. It's actually on public display at the Golden Nugget Las Vegas in Las Vegas, Nevada.
The biggest one?
The biggest one found by a metal detector. It's the biggest recent find.
Okay. We can post a picture of that, can we?
I can probably do that, Adam. Hold on. Let me do that. I can do something like that. Bear with me.
I found that.
Sorry,
Adam. No, I was just mentioned it to Deb that I like the picture she chose. Who the artist.
Oh, good. Travel around the world.
Yeah, well, I was saying to Deb before that I thought that the image was a really good one for us, Hatter, because there were lots of things going on and lots of stuff. That's the Hand of Faith nugget up on the All Poetry board now as we speak.
So did you mention Santa?
No.
Santa?
Hatter? No.
Okay. Who's the jolly guy in the middle? Under the moon.
Yeah, no, I was just on the moon. I was just on the moon.
Behold,
the
his
star man.
Behold, his mighty hand.
There you go.
Looks like Santa to me.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right, Heather. I'm sure you're absolutely right. I was mucking around with different things, Hatter. And I sort of thought I'd better do a poem that, you know, wasn't, you know, it was just a simple poem on gold. Because I know you're so interested in gold. So I had to do a simple poem on gold. So you ready for this? I'll post it up the board.
Okay,
I'll read it first. Only a short, very short. You ready? Here we go.
No.
Properties. No, you can't see it. Oh, you see them on tick. Properties are malleable.
Oh, okay.
So while it's strong, also soft.
Okay.
And luminous in design within the glint. You ready? I'll start again. Properties are malleable. So while it's strong, also soft. And luminous in design within the glint recognized of. Now, currency is not linked to screwball unless ruble, while many seek off a mine others sort with a wide-brimmed pan, and as the man in the hat is off to Oz, for down the yellow brick road, gold fans, end poem. And I'll explain that in one tick. The thing about you being
cool.
Australian is fairly obvious. Did you know, Hatter, that once upon a time, all of the currencies were linked to gold, and it was called, appropriately, the gold standard. Yeah. So if you had a certain amount of US dollars, then that was linked to a certain number of ounces of gold. Okay.
Yeah. The fiat system that FDR handed in your gold for paper. Yeah.
And so that stopped a number of years ago, that gold was linked to currency, except about 5-6 months ago, Russia reintroduced it. And so now the ruble is linked to the gold standard again. No other currency is, but the ruble is.
They've got our gold.
Well, they went out and bought a whole stack of it before they went to
Oh, no,
that's what they did.
Even when, so there's no... So there's actually nothing in Fort Knox.
Well, I don't know where the heck it is, but they've gone and bought stuff. Maybe it's still in Fort Knox and they own it. Anyway, the poem is now up on the board, Hattie. You'll see why I wasn't showing you before. The top line has slated across a little bit, but you'll see that it's just a little cat.
Oh, there's the gold thing. Yeah, that's the face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a chunk. Nice nugget.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So, anyway, that was my sort of doodling on gold, Hatter. So, if you like.
Is this the one you just read, or are you going to read it?
No, that was the one I just read, in the shape of a hat.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of cute. Because I had to make it up to you, Hatter. I had to make it up to you. And the reason I say this is because I felt a little bit guilty, because my poem this week is, of course, one of those horrendous creatures called a palindrome. And so I thought I should give you a reasonable poem.
It was a bribe.
It was a bribe. That's exactly right. That's exactly what it was, that I would give a bribe gold poem before I did the palindrome, you say.
I think he just gave me a piece of candy to tell me to go sit down.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now behave yourself while he shows off with his palindrome.
Thank you.
So, given all of that, now there's something I do have to say before I do my palindrome, because when I first came on the site about 7 or 8 years ago, I struck a number of very friendly and welcoming individuals, and one of those was a former Englishman from Cornwall called John Coe. And John was back in you know, 7 or 8 years ago, in the unfamiliar territory of being a rhymer. He loved rhyme. He, in fact, loved monorhyme more than anything. And he was a wonderful contest host, very friendly, welcoming guy, lovely English accent. And unfortunately, he passed away this week. And that is a huge, huge shame for everybody, really. And so I have done a couple of poems in the last few days for John, but one that I did do that I am going to go and read, sorry, Hatter, is a palindrome. Now, this was kind of strange, Hatter, because normally with a palindrome, it takes you a very reasonable period of time to do it. I think you'll agree. They're not straightforward. However, I actually got this palindrome written in half an hour straight at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have absolutely no good reason to work out why. So, for John, on the theme gold, this is Thoughts Golden, a palindrome for John, and it goes a little bit like this. Golden thoughts of sunset in passing life captured, emboldens fine imagery, the light touching rapture. Scurry to trails as eyes wandering far distant rows, hurry bees to hover, painted richly florals and shows. Accents of simmer create peering in English skies, a scent spread of sun burning soon by stars will arise. A wild peace, soon falling light to pen distant rows. Style his alone reflects mirror, the beauty exposed. Exposed beauty, the mirror reflects alone his style. Rose, distant pens, a light falling soon, peace a while. Arise, will stars by, sue burning sun of spent sense. Skies English imperial, created simmer of accents. Shows in florals richly painted hover to bees hurry. Rose, distant far wandering, eyes as trails to scurry. Rapture, touching light, imagery fine in boldness. Captured life passing in sunset of thoughts golden. End poem.
You know, you really only wrote one poem.
I did. Only two stanzas. It's just that I reversed them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I can't believe this was a half hour. This is really stunning, and I truly think it's one of your best palindromes. I can't believe, I'm just, my chin hitting the table over the time it took you to write it. Wow.
Yeah, you needed to pause. But you needed to pause it to be at the break. But to emphasize
you think?
You're now reading it backwards.
Yeah. I guess. But I mean, it's you know. Well, what's the long form of it, Hatter? I was saying to Deb before, it's almost a 14er, which is sort of strange for a palindrome. Most people sort of cheat on palindromes and have the 6 to 8 syllables, but this is fully 12, 13, 14 syllables a line. It's there's no
I'm
cheating.
I'm sorry, Hatter, you sound a little bit bitter over there.
I'm good.
Good, excellent. But yeah, it was sort of strange.
I wish I could be.
I was strange, Hatter. I mean, I didn't, you know, I wasn't sure what to write for this image, and I knew it had to be rhyming, and I knew it couldn't be more than 150 words. But I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And then, you know, I woke up with real clarity at 2 o'clock in the morning and started writing, and that happens, you know, once in a blue moon, really.
You wake up in the middle of the night to a palindrome. Okay.
I woke up in the middle of the night and wrote a palindrome and went back to sleep.
What?
Yep, exactly.
What chance do I have?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, Deb's right. Deb's right. This is one of your. It's a very good one. You're halfway through the first part, and I can see how fluid it was going to be read backwards. Yeah, it's like taking a Beatles album and it's going backwards on turntable, you know, just to see what you get.
Yeah, it's a nice. I don't usually use the sort of ing set of words, but it enabled me to go longer in the form, which was kind of nice. So that's one that I've learnt for next time. It's got a nice sort of feel and sense, and I sort of thought, you know, well, I can do the front two as the floral sort of yellow floral field, and I can turn it around it and be about John. So that was as much sort of heavy duty thinking as I did before I started writing it.
Now, are you at all when you write the first part? Are you constantly thinking, reading it backwards at the same time, or do you put it down and then try to tweak it back?
No. I'm constantly thinking about its reverse, and so, you know, I'm trying to think about how to get words like his in there and passing, and you know, peace. And there's certain words I want for the reverse. So I'm always thinking about how to get those in.
AP, are you one of these people that can read both pages of a book at the same time?
No, I'm not. Interestingly, I do have a little bit of a photographic memory, though, Hatter.
Recall.
Not with all things, but with certain things. I can take a photo of an image and then retrace that image in my mind. And even actions sometimes. So, for example, I can replay what's gone on in a particular scene, and I can see that I haven't taken a particular tablet, and so I'll take that later on because I forgot it, which is sort of weird, but I can do it.
No, that's great.
My eldest son has a photographic memory, a full photographic memory, so he was the one who got the full baduga, but I've got bits of it, if that makes sense.
Wow. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, look, and as I said, John had a big impact on me early on. He was from a very creative family.
When you were a kid,
sorry, Hannah.
When you were a kid, you knew the school was easy. You had total recall.
Yeah, look, school was pretty easy for much of it. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And particular subjects more so than others, like maths, Hatter. You know how you did those? Did you ever have those maths tables, you know, times table tests? Yeah?
Sure.
Yep.
Where you had the top, and you had like 10 numbers across the top and 10 numbers down the side. And so you had to do 100 times table. We did every day, And because I was so good at them, I gave everybody a 90-second start.
Now, were you doing the math, or did you memorize the table?
I memorized the tables.
And that's recall. I mean,
It's very helpful knowing your 14 times table down backwards. It's you can make sure that people aren't ripping you off in a shop, and make sure that if they're ripping themselves off, not you, and so it comes in very handy, surprisingly, still.
I bet.
Anyway,
I was always a math guy.
Yeah. So, as I said, I thought, I'm definitely going to be rhyming, and so why not, give the palindrome a go? And it came out surprisingly quickly, really. It surprised me, to be honest.
So why aren't you working for the government? Or did you turn that job down?
Me? Because they can't pay me enough money, Hatter.
Sometimes you don't have a choice.
Can't pay me enough money. So, always been out after making money for people, Hatter, and that's what I know that I do well. So might as well go with what you know you do well.
Cool.
There you go.
I'm just dumbfounded. I don't know what to ask him anymore. Totally recall.
But, No. I just, it's an is. And in all honesty, John was a wonderful guy and a wonderful rhymer. And he certainly inspired me, and he inspired, many, many people.
I remember John in the contest. I believe the contest.
He had a lot of contests.
And a whole lot, too.
Yeah. So I've got. Can I do one more poem for John, Hatter? Is that allowed?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have goals, and it's not a palindrome, which is good news for all of us. It's just a monorhyme, because that's what he liked to do. So this is when the cat disappears for John. It goes a little bit like this. They once stared a cat, and not known by a phrase, we selfishly prayed that his rhyme would ever amaze. Rounded his mat tones echoed by a melodious daze, his rhythm never flat, within rhyme monotone strays. While if on boards or chat his wisdom ever left ways, images chosen of colours plat through floral displays. Golden joys never sat far from when a pen would raise, for a word hither at a phrase thither, then a page slays. Not one for attention hat long left since dust and arrays, already miss his comforting pattern's elegant ways. For John has left words format amongst heaven plays, and in north we're at, find his spirit fairly left blaze.
Nice.
Oh, he'd love that. Between the rhyme and the photo of his cat, his profile pic. And he's a mega fan of the mono rhyme.
Well, I had the double mono rhyme technique.
I especially love that ending where John has left words format amongst heaven's plays, and in the north where at find his spirit fairly left blaze. That's really, really cool.
But all the way through.
I like the beginning too. Not that there once stared a cat. And not known by a phrase, we selfishly prayed that his rhyme would ever amaze. Very true. But this is awesome. Like I said, I can't. I'm grinning because of his kitty's picture. A lot of his contacts were tied around the cat.
Yeah.
The last gold I think I got from him was on a cat poem.
Oh, really?
Coat of many colors.
Uh-huh.
Damn, I can't believe it. Yeah.
1,073 gold medals, 1,120 silver medals, 1,075
yep.
bronze medals, 2,927 greens, and 119 front page picks. John Coe.
And did you see, Hatter, in the last line, there was a little nod of the hat to the man from Snowy River.
Actually, I was already running to John's site.
So, the last verse.
I took a look at that picture of the cat.
Yep.
Struck a chord. Yeah. And
here we go.
It was like a shiny thing.
So bear with me. The last verse of The Man from Snowy River starts, and down by Kosciuszko where the pine-clad ridges rise, their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in the cold and frosty sky.
So you put a little piece of yourself in there through banjo. Way cool.
I did. I had to put a bit of banjo in. And so it's... It's there in the last line. I sort of thought that was fun. But anyway, there you go.
I just got the AP. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. As Deb said, we love monorhyme, and this has got two sets of monorhyme going on, so I think you would have enjoyed it. Sorry, Hannah?
We can't read his poems, can we?
I don't think so, because we don't have his permission, Hatter, and it's going to be very hard to get it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no.
If anything happens to me, you guys have my permission to tear mine apart.
Or we could just read them, Hatter. That's another option.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. How about we just read them?
You know.
Ha, ha, ha.
So, you know.
Worm.
Anyway, so I was waiting patiently for Stephen and he hasn't shown up. Now, Hatter, did you have a poem on the wonderful world of gold?
I did. You know, I wrote two and I wasn't happy with either. Very cliche.
Oh.
I'll read the one.
Okay, read us one. That's
allowed. In fact, you're going to have to, because I stepped on my glasses today.
Oh, well, I can do it if you want. You put it somewhere I can read it, and I'll read it.
Yeah, let me get it.
Okay.
Hold on.
No, it's all good.
Oh, hold on. I'm trying to get it. I thought I had it still in my queue. I might still.
You still got it?
Yeah. Is that me?
That's you.
No, that's not the right one.
Okay.
Let's go get it.
Okay.
It's the last thing in my...
Hatter, while you are finding the poem, I am going to go to the videotape and I'm going to play Gonzo. Yeah?
That's a good idea.
Perfect.
Yeah? So let's put that on because Gonzo's brilliant and it also gives you some inspiration to find your poem. So this is Gonzo part number 9 of his long-form series, and let's see what happens this week.
Although Sleepy's chance circumstance may make it seem as if her advanced trance-like state could precipitate a semblance of remembrance, she didn't. No thought echoed in her mind for the first time in many nights. She did not dream about her loss. She did not dream about the fight. She did not dream about love at all costs. She just let the darkness swirl inside.
Please, darling, I've waited 5 years. Another 5 minutes simply won't do.
Sleepy's eyes tried to pry themselves wide, but the blood flow supplied was internally denied. She felt the welt dealt develop on the back of her head, and in that moment she felt content to be dead. Queen had snuck behind, taking advantage of Sleepy's shock. Too simple would it be, it seems, to pass through the door unlocked. Luckily, the blow, as dazing as it seemed, only left superficial wounds, and soon she could see. Most in that moment would break down and cry, her mind festering and turbid. Never once did Sleepy wonder why. She only ever asked if he did.
Did you ever love me?
Of course he didn't, you ugly little piglet. He wanted a real woman.
Charming, and the queen's lips pressed for a passionate kiss before starting again, torturing Sleepy's soul far worse than the bullets that pierced her skin. Magic mirrors stared, eyes wincing and furrowed, shining behind the traitorous duo in the glass atop the lofty bureau. Mind racing, pacing memories quite thorough, she couldn't find the words to speak, instead the words she'd borrow.
You can have the kingdom, I just want...
to win, and I win. I won. I took the throne from your naive father, and now I'm giving it to a real man.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, let the guards know about our little visitor, just in case he slips away again. Ooh, and darling?
Yes?
Bring the wine.
You are delectable.
Indeed, my love.
The queen strolled out of the room, closing the door shut, giving privacy to the two. As the fog lifted, Sleepy's gaze sifted for a weapon fate gifted so she could slay her lover twisted. Charming knew her simple plans, so he palmed his hilt inside his hand.
I absolutely love to hate that woman. The second we are married, I'm gonna wrap my hands around her frail, decrepit neck and snap it like a cracker. I see 10 steps ahead, which is why you'll find this room is woefully empty.
Sleepy's disgust and rage ignited.
Please tell me you're not this short-sighted. Do you think the people will celebrate a king who murdered his wife?
No, but they would celebrate a man avenging his lost love.
Charming spoke of his plan at hand, although not grand, would secure himself the land. Suspiciously, a package of great value will be delivered to the houses of prominence. Evidence of the queen's involvement in Sleepy's demise, as well as the queen's dreams of dominance. Charming explained with a pain expression.
You awoke and came home to find the queen had married your love. You revealed the ugly truth about what happened. The queen attacked you in a fit of rage, and seeing you die by the queen's hands, your dedicated, loving former suitor, me, would have no choice but to react with violence, especially after the queen manages to finish the job, and, you know, kill you. Or so they'll think. I grow tired of this oppressive state, and when the people find out how I've been betrayed, they will beg me, bend a knee, be our king.
Inside herself, Sleepy felt something worse, more queer than the mere damage dealt as she struggled to stand. Falling, she knelt, bended knee as if to beg to the mirror himself.
You seriously knew this whole time?
Sorry, kid. These are the breaks. But it makes any difference. I didn't tell you because...
I just wanted to see the look on your face.
Charming smiled, beguiled by the mirror's cruel tactics, all the while cackling over Sleepy's plan, believing it lacking.
But if there is a but,
I also didn't tell the queen or Charming about our plan.
Our?
You can't be serious. I'm on the eve of becoming king. I have soldiers. I have assassins. I have vast amount of wealth and power backing me. You have a treacherous mirror feeding you lies. And I'm supposed to be afraid? It took you nearly a month just to get caught.
It didn't take me a month to plan this. This is not the plan. There is no plan. Suicide missions don't require a whole lot of planning. I thought you were dead. My plan was to come here for all of this. I wanted it all pulled down, one by one.
Sleepy stood tall, ignoring her aches, cracking a smile as Charming's hand began to quake.
I want to pull it down brick by brick.
Charming stood aloof with a goofy look upon his face, so Sleepy saved him some grace. She took a step forward in his direction, calmly speaking with a quiet expression. Sleepy's hand stretched across the etched stone gloss that sat atop crisscross stone and chiseled designs she had missed more than she could combine.
It's time.
The future king's ignorance was clearly presented by an icy cold stare at the two he resented.
Time for what, your master plan?
Sleepy tilted her head towards the ceiling before a maddening sound sent the mercenaries reeling. A feeling of total loss descended over the castle, even with this army. Charming was not ready for this battle.
I have everything. The crown, the kingdom, the army. What could a pathetic girl like you possibly do to stop me?
Me? Nothing. But she sure as hell can.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you
fire.
Funkiest music. I don't know why. I really like it every time. And it's different and it's different styles, but I just love the heck out of the music. Welcome, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am very, very well. I am very, very well. And I just had to say, before I got a few other people to comment on this wonderful piece, because it is getting very textured now. Yeah, I actually loved the mama rhyme near the front of the poem. And he always does at least a couple of mama rhymes, but sometimes he even goes, surpasses himself and does, I think in this particular case, four. Sleepy's eyes tried to pry themselves wide, but blood flow supplied was internally denied. What a line that is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's at least four direct mama rhymes in there, plus a sort of pseudo one. It's very, very cute. Deb, can I get you to comment on part nine of Gonzo?
Well, for starters, I agree. He uses some pretty cool music. He does such a fantastic job. I found myself enthralled, and then I was giggling at parts like, did you ever love me? Of course he didn't, you ugly piglet. He wanted a real woman. I was like, oh, man, how talk about mean girls. But man,
yeah.
the details and everything. I mean, and we're at part nine, and I'm not. I mean, sometimes you get things and you're like, oh, here we go. But you know, you get to the end and you're like, oh, now I gotta wait till next week for more. You know, because I know that the conclusion is in two parts, so I'm looking forward to that. But I am in complete awe of the little team he uses to do this, the voices, the everything. I know nine parts in, I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but I can't help it. I'm really, like, stuff, Faye crying and seeing you die by the Queen hands, you're dedicated. I'm like, oh, man. I mean, really brilliant, brilliant work. Gonzo, you're all impressive.
No,
I appreciate Denise in.
He sets the bar. That's what he does. Yeah, he sets the bar. He sets the bar so that we can all try and follow and emulate. Isn't that impressive? Hacker, did you want to say some words?
It just blows me away how good this is. And you're right, this was the best rhyming one. It was very noticeable, very spot on. The cadence was right there. Recorded beautifully. It, all the way through it, I was just impressed by the structure of the rhyme and listening to it. I mean, he's combined, I mean, that Sleeping Beauty and Prince Charming, right? And then the mirrors from Snow White and Seven Dwarfs, this mirror on the wall, magic mirror. Is there one?
No, but now, Stephen, you're running a bit late today. I know.
I'm sorry?
you're running a little late today. We're normally on about half an hour before this.
Yeah. I had to stop at another show really quick before I came here, so I don't usually spread myself that thin, but
you're spreading yourself thin today.
Yeah, I've heard this one before too, and I'm really enjoying this ongoing story, and I'm going to be kind of sad when he finally brings it to its conclusion. But the rhyming, as you said, is just impeccable, and it makes it more fairy tale-ish. So it's very cool.
It does. Yeah, it's sort of an old Grimm type sense to it. It's really kind of interesting. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but talking about poems, Stephen, we've now got yours up on the board in freezing cold. Find veins of gold.
Yeah, and this is based on a scene from a movie called Eureka, which was also based on a true story of the murder of Sir Harry Oakes. Gene Hackman played the character based on Harry Oakes, and this is based on a scene where he struck gold. So I call this In Freezing Cold, Find Veins of Gold. Up north where heaven and hell meet, above rocky crags on snowy mountain peak, a place where no man would want to go twice, where arteries are sought beneath a sheet of ice. In caves where breath freezes in midair, with pickaxe behind a thousand-yard stair, put back into those swings that drain, penetrate the auric vein. As guilt does spurt from Mother Earth, gold dust and hair on fool's rebirth, ride upon the bullion geyser, clothing soaked with Richard's miser. Float in full warm sallow tarn, from sky it rains down brilliant barms, done alone and without regret, since I never earned a nickel off another man's sweat. End poem. And that was a direct quote from the movie.
Very nice. Very nice. And I like the poem. I like that you did a show on Robert Service too. I didn't realise that, Stephen. I like the poems of Robert Service. I've got one of his first edition books, actually, that I found up at I think it was the Yukon one. Anyway, I've got one of his first edition books. Just a really cool rhyming part. It's got some really cool rhyming lines, as well as the gif at the front, which is kind of fun. So, Hannah, what did you think of that piece?
You're getting better at just the flow. It just flows, you know. And when you it doesn't feel good to not have to worry so much about that and get more choosy of your words. Yeah. Very well done. Yeah, very well done. And I like the explosion. That's mesmerizing. Blow that up.
Thank you, Howard.
Excellent. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, I thought this came out really awesome, Stephen. I like the rhyme you got going on. I like, where'd it go? A glint does spurt from Mother Earth, gold dust and hair on fool's rebirth, ride upon the bullion geyser, clothing soaked with riches miser. I thought this was really, really clever. And the gift that you put, it's cool the way it's exploding. The gold turns into like a liquid. Very cool. Floating the so warm, sallow tarn from sky it rains down brilliant barns, done alone and without regret. Since, and I like the quote, excellent job.
The bing bang. The bing bang.
Great work. Well done, Stephen. Now, Stephen, have you got 5 minutes to be with us for the collab, or are you going to have to disappear into the night?
No, I think for one.
Okay, cool. Because we'll, before you disappear, of course, we'll get you to talk about what show's coming up. But in the meantime, Deb, I'm going to stick to you to talk about the mysterious collaboration for this particular show.
Okay, dokie. Well, this is... I send Hatter and EP art. They each send me lines without speaking to each other, and I thread them together for a collaboration. And this is the 71st collaboration by them, and it's called Professor Planetarium's Pomegranate Punch. Here we go.
Hold on.
Okay.
Pomegranate Punch. And I believe, I'll tell you. Come on. Let's see. Pomegranate Punch. Okay, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Behold his mighty hand in the softest purple crepe. As star-built creatures roam the sky, on the surface they do drape. Two bovine jokers eat leftovers, are reading movie lines, upchucking cud as the star signs live various. Eating goat beard salad, drunk on fruit bowl punch, asking if the moon was luminous. Hunting time in a bottle from the peacock's tail, light from the crab skitters by front. Icing the makers with moon dust shakers into neck shapes do bunt, telling tales of things to come. All of his words are simply true, and the scales balance do sweep. Pray for peace on the golden fleece when the twins of Gemini leap. Books of gold are never told exactly where you are while the comet's image blurs. The balance of nature that weighs the flames, all the while the bull does stir. Wisdom watches from a perch beyond with a stone scorpion towards the back. But wizard hats on rising moons hold the tale of gold surfing constellation as the telescope traces track. And poem.
That's fun. I like that one, Deb. And you were in zany form, Hatter. Wisdom watches from a perch beyond. Yeah, that's neat. Wizard hats on rising moons held by tales of gold. You just rolled them out that time, Hatter.
I'm sorry, which ones? Oh, my.
Your words.
No.
Yeah, your words. They were fantastic.
Okay.
This is another one. I have to say that each one of you cracked me up when you sent your lines this time. Hatter sends his, and he says, good luck with that. And I'm like, uh-oh. And then AP says his, and he says, from the moon, Deb, for the collaborations. And I'm like, it wouldn't surprise me if he did sit on the moon and write some lines, because, I mean, he's been in some precarious situations while he read over the years. But it just struck me so funny, put me in a good mood to put the pieces together. And then it was like when you talked about a book, each one of you mentioned it enough to tie them together. Or, like, I love the beginning. Behold his mighty hand in the softest, palest crepe as star-built creatures roam the skies. On the surface they do drape. I was going to try and cut it apart and try to carry that rhyme pattern, but some of the details needed to be there, so I didn't. But it turned out to be
right.
A 10.
Yeah, it was a real decision. So it was interesting because it was sort of like Hatter had the sort of fantastic grand slam sort of words, and mine was sort of like the setup words. It was really interesting the way that worked.
See, that's what I asked. That's what I asked last week, and I don't think you understood my question because I thought that also.
So, because you always need the 1-2. If everybody's trying to go, you know, out there with the big lines, you know, time in a bottle from a peacock's tail, if we both did that, we wouldn't have a poem. It's really interesting how it works. Stephen, what did you think of this one? He might have gone. Hello, if he has. Oh, no, Nick hasn't. Stephen, you're still there.
I'm muted. I was muted.
Ah,
sorry. I was just saying that there's always a lot going on in these collaborations, and I think that's what makes them so entertaining. You know, the picture itself that you always get always has a lot going on in it, so I'd expect that. I like the I always like the Interlime Rhyme, and you know, I was saying in my comment that I could handle quoting movie lines with a couple of jokers, but when they started offering a goat beard salad, I think I'd have to pass. No wonder they started ducking. But yeah, this is pretty good.
Thank you.
You really got to look at that picture. You really got to look at it.
I need to ask you, Stephen, what you have coming up on Poetic Fights.
Our next show is Monday night, the Mortuary of Shadows, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and by request from Miss Sky, we are doing the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village. So we have quotes from that movie to write to. Check them out,
yes.
See where they take your pen. That's 7:30 p.m. on Monday.
Far, far, far too scary for me, Stephen, to be tell you, but anything by M. Shyamalan, just far too scary for me. Now, one thing that we do have left, we've only got one poem left, Steve, if you want to hang around, because we have Hatter's poem, and I think I'm reading it. Is that right, Hatter?
Yeah. Are we going to do that yet? Okay.
No, we haven't done it yet, but I'm about to. I'm about to.
Okay.
And it's only short.
Okay.
It's a golden one.
It's no goat. Beard salad, tell you that.
This is a golden one by Jay Hatter. It goes a little bit like this.
Funnier than
that. He paved the stones on the way to Oz. It paints the fleece on Jason's yacht. A mountain in deserts crowned with vice. Locks of gold, it makes things right. Arches over the clowns insane. Rules to live by on the road again. Of age I pray from where I stood. Like Winnie the Pooh and the 100-acre wood. End poem.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's okay. The other one was worse.
What did you think?
Oh, I like this a lot. I'm putting in my comment. I mean, it's a pretty basic comment. All that glitters gold. Everything
yes.
that you could think of. And I like the little nod to the Argo, Jason's ship.
Yes.
And Jason and the Argonauts, yes. I really appreciate that. So yeah, it's really cool. Gave me a chuckle.
I tried to think of as many as I could.
Yeah, no, it's a very good header. We've got some very cute little bits and detail. Deb, what did you think of this little piece by Hatter?
Well, for one, I'm noticing that the fleece made it into this one too. Jason must have been on your mind, Hatter. But I like how it starts out with the stones on the way to Oz and it ends up with Winnie the Pooh in the 100 Acre Woods. It's a really cool brevity. And a mountain and desert's a crown to bite, locks of gold, it makes things right. That Hatter rhyme.
Yep.
Great share.
Yep. Good work, Adam.
He missed the Eddie Murphy movie.
I thought of Winnie the Pooh. I had to put him in. You know, because honey's gold.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. It's liquid gold.
Yes, it is. So, Hatter, it's come to that time of the show where I have to ask you for a topic for next week.
Dreams.
That'll do. All right, we're on that.
Dreams or screams? Dreams?
Dreams.
Dreams. D-R-E-A-M-S, dreams, Hatter.
Yep. Right before the nightmare.
Yep. Yep, dreams it is. Dreams it is.
Cool.
Well, I put one on the board only because it's got some pretty good rhythm to it. I figured I could read real quick and then go. I don't need any comments.
Please.
I just want to.
No, okay.
I put it on there. It's called like fool's gold, pulled urine glitters in sunshine too. A little bit of attitude in the title. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Two can spin and dance around wrapped inside a hug. arms can ache and heartstrings break, shredded in the tug. Life's last straw on camel's back snaps, the hole is dug. On the seesaw, ups and downs, squash me like a bug. Rose-tinted glasses stain the view till we pull the plug. CRISPR vision showing you, labeled as a slug. Weeping coffee, salt drips dry, lint swept neath the rug. Rise to stand up, swing a fist, smack you with my mug. An antidote just for me, fighting you, my drug. Kiss my booty, wave goodbye. Do not call, you thug. And poem.
There you go. When in doubt, just roll out the mug words. It's really cute, Deb. I can't think of too many words that you've missed in there that start with, end with ug. Maybe shrug or lug. And then I've run out. I don't think I've ever seen slug in a poem. It's kind of neat. Lovely rhythm, though. It does have that sort of, the seesaw and the up and down. It did have a sort of seesaw type of rhythm to
it. Really seesaw.
Go ahead.
Same thing. No, I noticed the same thing. So, no, go ahead.
Did you? Oh, there you go. I was probably looking too closely. So there you go. Okay, so we have come to that point in time, which is the end of the show and all of that. Thank you to Deb and to Hatter for being around for Gold. We have Dreams next week. I'm sure there's plenty of really cool sort of dream poems out there, Hatter, or new dream poems to be had. So I'm looking forward to that. I was looking to see if there's any gold poems on the board. But the problem is, you see, that there weren't a lot of sort of big gold hits in America, Hatter. Like, it's a perfectly good English band called Spandau Ballet, and they did a song called Gold, and I think it got to number 42, yeah, on the charts. It didn't really make it. And then there was Sting, who did Fields of Gold, and that didn't really make it either. So,
Golden Slumbers.
Is there? Golden Slumbers.
Are you talking about songs? You know, with Golden?
Yeah, I'm talking about songs. Yeah.
Golden Slumbers.
And then there was Golden Brown by the Swingers, by the Stranglers. What a great song that is. I think I've played that before. Such a cool song. I don't think we've got any of those there. Yes, boy, goodness me. We've got Simon and Garfunkel, but that's for the thing coming up soon. So I'm just having a look at what I'm going to play, Hatter. So thinking music while that goes on. So we will... I can't do that because it doesn't make sense. We can do Pink Floyd. We can do Pink Floyd for anything, really. Okay, we'll do Pearl Jam. It's not gold, but it's another colour. It's black. It's close. We're going with that, Hatter. I'm going with black. Thank you to everybody. Thank you, of course, to Gonzo for all the work that he does to put together his brilliant production. Thank you to Stephen for dropping by. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Hatter. Here's Black. We'll see you next week for Dreams.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Dream on.
Fun show, guys. Thank you. Love and respect.
Thanks, Deb.
Okay.
Under the sheet of clay.
Done. That's Pearl Jam Black. We'll be back next week with Greens. Until then, all the best for a good week. Thanks to Deb and Hatter and to Stephen and Gonzo, and rest in peace, our beloved poet John Coe. Bye, everybody.
Night.